Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to digitalcommerce.com and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's digitalcommerce.com.
Welcome to Technology Translated. I'm your host, Scott Ellis. And this week, we're going to take a step back and talk not about a specific technology, but about the process of learning technology. This is really about what do you do when you don't know what you don't know. So you want to learn a new skill. Maybe it's website development or just running a website. Maybe it's social media. It could be podcasting. It could be any number of things. It can be scary to get started. It can be daunting to try to engage with other people on those networks. And a lot of times that fear is really what holds us back from learning. So our guest today is Avery Swartz, and she has started a business called camptech.ca, where they do in-classroom, that's right, in-person, in real life training on technology across a whole host of technology related topics. Now, even if you don't happen to live in Toronto and can't go to one of her classes in person, she's here today to talk to us about the process of learning, about how they walk people through that process and help them overcome the fear of new technology. But she's also going to share with us some of her favorite online and other resources that you can go to learn more and to help you get started and get over that initial hump. We're also going to talk about the most important trait of being a good technology teacher and of being a good technology student. Let's get into the show. Avery, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for joining me on Technology Translated.
Thank you so much.
Very nice to have you here. This is going to be a fun episode because we're going to talk to people about learning about technology. This show is all about trying to educate people, and it's a technology podcast for non-techies. But you have a very interesting business that also teaches technology. So this is a natural, marriage of two entities to come together and have this conversation.
Absolutely.
Why don't you tell us, first of all, a little bit about the business and then how you got started?
Sure. So I am Canadian, and I'm hanging out up here in Toronto, Canada, and I run a company called Camp Tech. A lot like Technology Translated, Camp Tech is a technical workshop company to teach non-technical people some really practical tech skills that they can put into place right away in their businesses, maybe some of their hobbies. We see a lot of people that are small business owners, entrepreneurs, marketing people from small to mid-sized companies, people that work in not-for-profit and charitable organizations, just anybody that wants to learn more about technology in a fun, friendly, and practical way. Our workshops are in person only. We don't have online training. We don't do books. That's something that we may look into in the future, but right now we are proudly classroom style in-person workshops, and we are in Toronto, Ottawa, and Vancouver in Canada.
For everybody that's listening, I want you to know that you're still going to get something out of this.
Yes.
You don't have to travel to Toronto to get something out of this, because we're going to talk about learning technology, the process, where do you go, what do you do. This probably should have been my episode one, because what we're going to talk about today is when you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
How do you get off the ground and how do you get running without having too many pitfalls in front of you? What got you into this business, though? What got you started and inspired you to want to start a classroom-style technology training business?
I have a pretty crazy career path, you know, like a lot of people who are working in web technology. I've come at it from a really kind of kooky place. I used to work in the charitable sector myself. I worked for arts companies, particularly theater companies, as a marketing person, as somebody that worked on the web, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s. I had no training for what I was doing. I was kind of making it up as I went along. And then I transitioned out of working in the art sector to then becoming a freelance graphic designer, which then turned into becoming I mean, a freelance web designer and front-end developer. And I still own a web studio. I'm still doing that kind of work, mostly now totally on the design side. I'm not doing as much coding these days. But I'd say maybe like 5 years ago, I was working with a lot of my clients who tend to be the kind of people that come to Camp Tech, like I mentioned, the small business owners, the charities, you know, marketing people, small to medium-sized businesses. I would help them get their website off the ground. Most of the time I'm doing WordPress website. We'd get that up and running. And then they would ask me questions about their social media strategy or email marketing campaigns, or should they buy Google ads through a Google AdWords campaign? I didn't run an agency that was full service for all this kind of stuff. And frankly, I don't think they even wanted to pay somebody to do it. I think they wanted to learn how themselves. So I went out there, like many of us have, to just look at what are your options for learning modern tech skills and modern web skills. In Toronto at the time, there were some classes at the library. There were some continuing education classes at local universities and colleges. And then that was kind of it for in-person. There was, of course, online training. There's learning from books. But if you wanted to do classroom style, but you didn't necessarily want to do a full semester of training, then there wasn't anywhere you could go. That was this idea that just stuck with me, and it would not go away until I thought, you know, I really see an opportunity here to run some practical, short workshops. Most of our workshops are 3 hours. Some of them are 6 hours, where people can come and get these practical tech skills and then go back out there. That's how Camp Tech was born. And we're now 3.5 years into that company.
Well, congratulations. First of all, you've made it over the 1 and 2 year small business hump that a lot of them don't. I love the fact that you guys are doing this in person, if only because in my experience as well, when you're explaining new concepts, especially when it's technology that's foreign to somebody, being there in person and just being able to go back and forth and ask questions is really invaluable. All the online stuff out there is definitely helpful, and it's a great way to deliver a lot of that content, but you just, especially in that early stage, you can't replace somebody being able to sit there and just ask you questions, because it's hard to sometimes assess what somebody does and doesn't really understand. And as technologists, we have a tendency to take certain things for granted, not intentionally or because we're being thoughtless or careless. We just, you know, there's certain things that you and I have done for so long that it's second nature. You just kind of forget that you didn't even know how to do that once upon a time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I always say that at Camp Tech, but then also when I'm working with my clients, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners would understand where I'm coming from, you know, you're working with your clients, even just train them on how to use their own site after you've delivered it for them. For me, the key is empathy. It's just finding a way to empathize with that person, respect them. Like, just because they don't necessarily know their way around the WordPress admin, that doesn't mean that they're stupid. They're subject matter experts in what they know. So respecting them, being able to empathize with them as learners, I think that is the key to having a really good learning and training experience.
So that's great advice for people that are teaching other people about technology. Mm-hmm. What would be the flip side of that if you're a person who is learning from somebody? So for most of the people that are listening to this are going to be on the learning side. If empathy is perhaps the best skill for a teacher, what do you think the best skill for a student would be?
I would say the number one thing, especially for an adult going out and learning something new, is as much as you possibly can, try and quash any inner feelings you have of fear. There is such a fear factor with adult learners about feeling intimidated, feeling like, oh my gosh, if I do this wrong, I'm going to break everything. I'm going to take down the entire internet. I'm going to ruin my website. You know, like the fear factor is insane, and it can become totally paralyzing and debilitating. A lot of times I say to learners, you know, yeah, this is going to feel a little uncomfortable. That's okay. You're not going to break the internet.
Yeah, funny story. My grandmother once thought she had done that. She called me and she's like, I erased the internet. What did I do? And I instantly knew. I'm like, Grandma, you probably just erased the web browser icon off your desktop.
Right.
But to her, that was erasing the internet. Yeah, those were her words.
Shortcut. And she thought, oh, you know, now it's gone forever.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's very true. I work with people all the time who have that same hang up. In fact, my wife is way more tech savvy than most people. She has to be because she's married to me.
Right.
But there are still things that when she's going to do them on her website, she wants me to be there.
Right.
She's like, I would rather you were here before I make this change because I don't want to blow anything.
Exactly.
Like, there is nothing you're going to do that I can't undo, but you know, it still makes her feel better. So what are some of the other types of things that people would come to Camp Tech to learn? What are you guys teaching there?
We're always adding new classes. So whatever, you know, the latest tech skill that people need to learn, especially in a practical way or for their business, that's what we're adding to our roster. Right now, we literally just added a couple new classes for winter 2016. We have a new class about growing your business on Instagram and how you can use that platform both as a paid and a non-paying person. So if you want to run paid ads or if you just want to play with Instagram organically, that one's really popular. We've also added a class about accessibility, which is something that a lot of people are talking about these days, website accessibility.
Avery, let me interrupt you for just a second because that is a really important one. And it's one that very few people understand. Before moving on, can you just explain what accessibility means on a website?
When we talk about accessibility, you know, such a broad word, and really it's a broad concept. It's the idea that on the web, if we think about it in a really ideal way, we want as many people of all walks of life worldwide to be able to experience the web and to have a really positive experience. When we're talking about accessibility, of course, that can mean, you know, accessibility to even being able to get on the internet, being able to have a reliable internet connection. But particularly, we're talking about accessibility for people with disabilities. People can sometimes just assume that it can be a black and white thing between people that are fully abled and then people that are disabled. But the truth is, there's such a wide range here. We're talking about people that may have cognitive disabilities. We're talking about people that have hearing challenges, sight challenges, mobility challenges, people that may or may not be able to use a key. Keyboard, may or may not be able to use a mouse. And the experience of the web for people with any type of disability can be a different experience. So when we talk about making the web accessible, it's about making it a good experience for as many people as possible, especially for those that are using assistive technology to experience the web. This is important first and foremost because it means you're being a good person. You're making things more accessible. That's just the moral and just thing to do. It's also good business, opening up your site to more potential customers, more potential visitors. That could boost your bottom line. And also, you know, I am in Canada. Having your website be accessible with their, you know, there are certain guidelines that dictate what levels of accessibility websites need to have. It's actually part of the law here in Canada.
It is in the US too, yeah.
Yeah. If just being a good person or the business reasons aren't motivating people enough, people up here are definitely getting motivated by needing to be in compliance with the different legislation.
Great answer. And you've got me thinking that's probably a whole episode that I need to do at some point that would be very useful to a lot of people because there's still a lot of misunderstanding around accessibility, what's required, what does that really look like?
It's such a broad topic. And of course, you know, we all want to be more accessible, but how do you do it? What levels of accessibility? How do you roll it out? What's a practical roadmap to getting you from where you are now to a more compliant website with those accessibility guidelines?
So are there any other training courses that you want to tell us about that you guys have going on up there? I kind of cut you off because that was so important, but...
I know. The accessibility stuff is just the most important thing going on right now. We have all kinds of different stuff. We've got our perennial favorites, our bestsellers, you know, wherever we run our training. The WordPress for Beginners class, which was our very first workshop when we first started. I thought to myself as the business owner, and I'm like, oh, this will eventually start to fade out and, you know, other topics will tend to take on more importance. But honestly, it is still a bestseller and we've run it easily, I don't know, maybe 50 times or something. Another topic that people seem to love is Google Analytics. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners maybe have access to Google Analytics for their own website, for their business's website. And I find a lot of people, they open up their Google Analytics, they kind of just look at the main dashboard, they look at the numbers, they kind of go, okay, I guess I'm doing okay. And then they just kind of close it down. they don't really know how to dive a little deeper into getting the reports and getting the value and the real meaning out of those numbers.
Yeah, I can imagine that class is absolutely huge. I would take that class, and I know Google Analytics well, but there's so much there that I still don't know.
There is so much there. We're now offering it at two different levels. We're doing an intermediate and an intro level Google Analytics class because it's just a pile of numbers. And unless you can pull some sort of meaning and value out of that, then it doesn't mean anything to you. It's not actionable data until you can really analyze it.
That's a good class. I would look forward to that one. Maybe I'll come to Toronto just because.
Hey, you're welcome anytime.
I like Toronto. It was a great city.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool town.
And you know, as for WordPress, I'm not surprised that it has stayed as popular. I mean, it continues to grow in terms of the number of sites on the web that use WordPress.
Absolutely.
And I think people are trying a lot of different, in my experience, they're trying a lot of different platforms sometimes and then realizing the shortcomings and then saying, okay, I do need my own kind of standalone site. And WordPress is still by far the easiest CMS like that to use with any sort of mass adoption anyway. I think it's approaching somewhere between 23 and 25% of all websites on the internet are WordPress.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. But that means we've still got about 75% of the web left to conquer. So
I love that.
We're not done yet.
To come and take my workshop.
It's really a secret evil plan to take over the internet. Okay, we've got time for two more questions. Let's start with this one. People are familiar with WordPress. They're familiar with Google Analytics. But other than those two, what are some other practical tech skills that you think people should be paying attention to and learning for 2016?
Again, really focusing in on the practical part of it, you know, then I would always ask, what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to, you know, rock the internet for your business? Are you trying to potentially move into becoming a web professional? Are you a hobbyist that wants to learn more? Are you making a website for the family cottage? Are you doing something for PTA at your kid's school? I think, though, that probably the best way to really round out a digital education in 2016 is to include a few different types of digital marketing skills, whether that be learning a bit more about social media marketing, learning about, you know, content marketing is still so huge. It hit big in 2014 into 2015, but it's still killing it in 2016. And you know what? One of my personal favorites, it's not as sexy as content marketing, but I really, really, really love email marketing. It's tried and true. It's been around for a while. It's a great way to get directly in front of your people. Learning about different digital marketing channels, content marketing, maybe email marketing, online advertising, but also having a bit of a strategy and a plan behind it, I think is so, so important so that you're not just blasting the exact same message on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, Google+, wherever you may be, that you're being a little more strategic about how you're reaching out to your community, to your clients, to your customers, so that, you know, you don't get lost in all the noise that's already out there.
Yeah. Do you guys have any classes on the strategy side of things?
We do. You know, a lot of our classes tend to focus on the technical skills, like exactly this is where you click, this is what you do. But while we are teaching that, we're also saying, oh, pro tip, here's a thought about something you could consider when you're building that campaign or when you're thinking about how you're going to unroll your contest or your giveaway or that kind of thing.
So we know what we need to go learn. What about where do I go learn it? For all of our friends that aren't going to be able to just jump on a plane and come to Toronto, what are some of the resources that you would recommend that they investigate?
Have some sense of an idea of how you like to learn. You know, think back to even when you were in school or when you've gone to learn something else. Everybody has a different learning style. So if you are personally are into classroom learning, go and try and find something local in your area. If you're all about online learning and video training, awesome. There are some great resources online for you. If you like to read books, that's great too. So, you know, focus in on which style of training you like yourself personally. And then if you're looking for local stuff, I know just jump online, go to Google, you know, type in WordPress workshop in the name of your town to see what comes up. If you are going more to the online, I really, really love some of the stuff I'm seeing at lynda.com, Team Treehouse, Skillshare has some pretty cool workshops on there, Codecademy, and then even just jumping over to YouTube. It's amazing how many tutorials are there. And then for books, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I personally have never found that learning web skills from books has ever worked for me. So I don't have any recommendations on good books for learning digital skills because it's not something I've ever done. Do you have any, Scott?
Believe it or not, I can actually fill that gap in just a little bit.
Please do.
I think for most of our audience, this isn't going to apply, but I'll throw it out there anyways. I have had a long career that has evolved from being a very hardcore, just straight up developer for many years to being absolutely frustrated with the interfaces that most engineers develop. So I started in on design, and that's more of what I do now. Mm-hmm. But of course, I run my own business, so there's a lot of marketing and strategy. And over time, you build a pretty broad skill set, but you can't do that overnight. When I was a coder, one thing I struggled with, and this was probably back in the early 2000s, late 90s timeframe, was really getting a solid grasp of JavaScript. Tried a lot of different resources, and I just, for whatever reason, you know, the server-side languages I could nail, no problem. The JavaScript stuff was throwing me, and the ROX, W-R-O-X, JavaScript books, I mean, they're thick and they're huge. It's like picking up a copy of War and Peace, but they had, for me, an ideal process that they walked me through for learning JavaScript, and it was the first time I finally really started to understand how to make it work. And I wasn't just sort of copying the examples in the book, but I was actually able to start to conceptually understand how things were happening and start to write my own code. I think if you're coding, there are some very good resources out there. For almost anything else, I would probably stick to online. Now, in this day and age, of course, there's a lot of good online stuff for coding too, but the ROX books might be a good one for somebody that wants to learn JavaScript.
Oh, and hey, I mean, this is an appropriate comment considering how we're even having this conversation. There's also some really great podcasts out there. Of course, yours, but there's even a lot of other ones that are talking about marketing, talking about business, talking about some of the digital skills that you need to have. So that's another one. Auditory learning, that's important as well.
Yeah, I love how podcasting has come on so strong in the last couple of years. I've been a big advocate of audio for a long time. And if you want to learn podcasting, there are also some very good resources out there, one of which is one of the sponsors for this show and part of the Rainmaker FM network, and that is The Showrunner, showrunner.fm. They're doing all kinds of great training on learning the art and craft of podcasting.
I love it.
Is that something you guys have thought about?
We have a podcasting workshop coming up at the end of February here in Toronto. Yeah.
Well, if there's anything I can do to help, I want you to let me know.
Absolutely.
Avery, thank you very much for joining us today. This has been a very fun conversation. And for everybody listening, I hope they have gotten some good resources, some ideas of where to go to begin. I think you summed it up best. Just get over your fear. Chuck that stuff to the side. You're not going to break the internet or anything else. In fact, go out there and try to break some things.
Yeah.
If you do that, you'll have a lot less fear about what you're doing.
Give it a try. Have fun. Play with it. It's a really great place. And we want you on the internet. We want you creating your own stuff. Join in. It gets a little addictive.
Oh yeah, it does become addictive and it'll suck you in fast. For everybody out there who wants to learn more about you, about camptech.ca and what you guys are doing, and if we have some listeners in Toronto, I believe we do, if they're interested in classes, where can they find you? What's the best way for them to track you down online?
Definitely just check out our website, camptech.ca. We've got all of our classes coming up in Toronto, Ottawa, and Vancouver. You know, you can also find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. We know we're all over the place. We have the same handle across all the platforms. Camp Tech itself wasn't available, so we went with Camp Tech Co. Exactly what it sounds like. Camp Tech Co. just strung together. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's where we're hanging out.
All right, Avery, thanks again for joining me today. And for all of you out there listening, if you have any questions at all for me, for Avery, for any of our past guests, or maybe something you want to hear on a future episode, you can always track me down online at VS Ellis everywhere on the internet. And if you use the hashtag AskTechTrans, I will get a notification. I'll see it and I will get back to you. We'll talk to you next week. Technology Translated is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.